And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go. And he continues telling them. And the girl, naturally they ask her, I like that. They didn't force her. She said, yeah, yes, I would go with him. In other words, I'll go look this Isaac over. And probably because she felt the hand of God also. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they prepare to leave, and old Laban, Laban was a special type person. And again, I'm going to stay off of Laban. I'm not going to go into that. But he tries to talk them into staying another 10 days. He says, we love her. We want her and you to stay 10 more days. And I think it's verse 46. Let's just turn over there and see what happens. 56, rather. And he said unto them, when they asked him to stay, hinder me not, seeing the Lord. Seeing what? Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I might go to my master. And he did. They let him go, and he went to his master. But what did it say in that verse? Seeing that the Lord hath prospered my master. Not you, Laban. Not you, Nahor. But God prospered him. How many times when you're trying to make your way, and it turns out real well, do you say, oh, thank you, Father. I know you did that for me. Well, the guy sitting beside you is going to say, now, how can you say that? We stopped at that service station, and you got out, or started to, and rolled your window down, and the man said, that way. And you're saying God did it? Well, yeah. Otherwise, there would have been no one at the station. Certainly not standing at the curb. And you have to realize, give God a little room to work miracles in your life, all right? He uses people sometimes. He doesn't just get a ball peen hammer and reach over and bam, you know, oh, I've got it now. He doesn't do that to you, all right? He uses people oftentimes. And there again, you must be a good enough of judge. Is this the type of person? Is he working for my father or is he working for the other way? Okay? Always use this little thing that God gave you as a special gift. It's called your mind, the mind of reasoning. Okay, so I think that is an excellent example and just good old basics of how to prosper in this age. I don't think you'll find a better. It's well illustrated. You almost have the pictures laid out there before you, and you are told specifically who it is that does the prospering or brings the prospering to pass. Now there is another beautiful place. Let me see. Which way are we? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 54, okay? Isaiah 54. We always like to know, well, what does this mean to me specifically? Well, it means exactly that people, God is the same yesterday, today, as he will be forever. And you know what? His children are still the same. So it means the same thing to you today, basically, that is to say, the lesson learned, as it did then. God doesn't change. Times do. But he wrote in his word what those changes would be, and he expects you to adapt or to absorb in the word what those changes are and be ready for them. So it applies to you today the same as it did yesterday. Do you remember when Christ was walking up that path, that hill to Golgotha? He was carrying that cross. And the daughters of Jerusalem were weeping. They were crying. And he said, daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but rather weep for yourselves. I think it's in Luke 23. Don't turn there. Just Let me share it with you. He said, the day's coming when it's going to be said, blessed are the barren and the paps that never gave suck. Meaning, blessed are those that remain virgin spiritually when the false Messiah came. All right? Well, this is what he was drawing from so that it affixes in your mind what we're talking about. Isaiah 54, verse 1. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Meaning the wife I married in the first earth age. There's a lot more of those that are out in the desolation of abomination than are with you. So he's talking to you. You got it? Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. In other words, you better start buying a lot of baby cribs. Though you've been barren up to this time, you're about to inherit a very large family. Okay? You're going to be blessed. And this is spiritual, of course. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. A small family will become an entire nation. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. Any of these little old troubles you've been through, trials and temptations, call them if you may, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. What widowhood are we talking about? Remember what it says about that great harlot in Babylon? I'm not a widow. I'm a queen. All right, when the false Messiah comes, you know, she's all fixed up. Well, you're not going to be. You'll still be in your widowhood, for Christ died on the cross. And spiritually speaking, until he returns, we're not about to remarry spiritually. Got it? For thy maker is thine husband. That clears it totally for you. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. There won't be any other at that time, start beginning with the millennium. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. There may be some rough times, and when the whole world plays the harlot after the false Messiah, don't you feel bad or left out. Don't you be tempted. It's your moment. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath, just a little bit of anger, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. In other words, when the false one appears on earth, it could possibly be a little lonely seemingly to you because of the joy the rest of the world is in. But your joy should be even triple fold. Because you know that our husband is almost here. That we're at the door. It's happening. And that's wonderful. All right? For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. This is that great promise, beloved. This is what, you remember the flood? All right, you got it. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. God said, I will never be angry with you. Period. Isn't that something? And look what we do. And he doesn't get angry. He just kind of, you know, reaches down and he said, hey, like that. And if you say, oh, and go this way, that's all there is to it. But if you keep going, then he says, hey. And then, hey. But he doesn't get angry. Isn't that something? He does not get angry at you when he corrects you. I think that's fantastic, all right? I really do. Skip to verse 11. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Talk about taking the pretty earrings and courting. And I will make thy windows of agates and the gates thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Verse 16. Behold, I, underline it, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument of his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. God, your father, your husband, created Satan, that is the destroyer, that's going to sit on that miserable imitation mercy seat, claiming to be Christ, to destroy those that have weak minds and weak spirits, that have not studied. He said, I made them. So certainly, he's never going to be angry at you. So what does that mean? That means if your husband's in control, if your father is in control, listen to this next verse, 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now there's that word again. Hey, that means anything. Carte blanche. Everything. Nothing can prosper against you. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And it's a good thing that it is, because sometimes our righteousness gets a little thin, but it's of his righteousness. Nothing, nothing can prosper against you. The Greek equivalent, there is a kinship word on success or to succeed. And it means guaranteed to succeed. And this word, not prosper, meaning in the negative sense, nothing can prosper against you, reminds me of this word when I think about it for a moment. It's used in the great book of Hebrew, where it says that Jesus Christ is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, a priesthood which cannot change. There is no change. That's why you can feel so wonderful in him. He's not kind of like we are. You might see somebody and you're not feeling good, and the next day you might say, instead of hello, you say hi, and you're gone, you know. He doesn't change. Your relationship with him is always strong. He does not change. He's unchangeable. That's the word that's used in the English. Unchangeable priesthood. What does that mean to you? Well, it means he's got the victory. He made these promises to you, the Father, through him. And it's not going to change, friend. Nothing can ever prosper against you. So kind of what is the fallout of your prosperity? Let's go right on into this chapter 55. Let's understand it just a little bit here. Chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. What is that wine? It is the blood of Christ. Doesn't cost you anything. He's already paid for. He paid the price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? His body, that is to say. For that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. I don't care how much money you have. When you get a certain point that is sufficient, hey, hearken diligently unto me and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Boy, can you, when you fill your tank up on the knowledge of God and you feel that goodness, the sweet victory of His wisdom as it pours into your mind, incline your ear, open it up, and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting, not a little wedding agreement here that we might say, well, honey, I'm going to divorce you. I just have had all this. I won't. And this is it. It's done. No, everlasting with you, even the sure mercies of David, the love and the truth of David and his son that would bring it. Behold, I have given for a witness to the people a leader and commander of the people. That happened back in chapter 53. Remember it? He took the beating. He got the stripes, and you got the healing. All right, you remember that? That's the one he's talking about. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. God loves his elect. He does. That's why he corrects us. That's why he shakes us up occasionally. He loves you. He really cares. He does. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He is. Think of the 10 virgins. There's a time when the wick goes out. Let the wickedness forsake his way. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He will forgive you. I don't care what your sins are. I could care less. That's why many people will, I get these little letters that will say, oh, why don't you preach on sin and make the sinners suffer a little more? Well, hey, I do enough suffering for all of us sometimes, you know, and we all are hopefully wise enough that the Word itself teaches against sin enough that let's just let the Word do the teaching. And when it smarts, well, that probably means you need to do a little counting, you know, on ways and means, on the way you got that way and what it means for you to stay there, all right, if it smarts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. What was that Hebrew word again? To lead in the right way. God's way is different than ours. He thinks on a different level naturally than we think. Oh, but if you only knew and trusted. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And praise God for that. We're going to be home with him someday. Really, I mean de facto. For as the rain cometh down, he's using something here now you can feel when you walk out into it, all right? As the rain coming down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, as sure as that natural perennial thing, in other words, year after year is set in motion, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. What's it going to do if it doesn't return void? Think. But it shall accomplish that which I please. Think about that. Don't read over it. What I please, and it shall prosper. There's that word. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. That's why it's real easy if the answer to you is no. Once you've done what you can do and committed to him, know that it's going to accomplish exactly what God wanted it to do. Especially in your ministry. Especially in your seed planting. It's going to accomplish what God wants, not what you want. So if it doesn't seem to turn out exactly the way you want it, still praise your Father. You did your part. Be happy in that and accept that God thinks higher than we do. He can see further down the road. When a fork comes into sight here and you have to make a decision, God is a higher thinker. He knows where both of those roads go. And He knows what tomorrow will bring down either of those roads. And He knows how many people He expects you to have an influence on this way, where maybe it would only be one this way. And believe you me, sometimes God takes the one because it's a special one. He knows, we don't. Okay? And that's called trust. It's called faith to know that He prospers everything you do for Him. When you analyze, do the best you can. And then say, okay, Father, I'm ready. And don't be a complainer. Remember, as He promised Noah He would never flood this earth again, He made you a promise. I'm never going to be angry at you. Boy, that feels good, you know? Because God only knows we deserve it sometimes. I know we do. But He's not. And that means He's going to put you on the plus side. If there's any hope at all, or if you even halfway try, and I don't like that term. I don't like anything halfway, but be that as it may, He's going to say, I'll prosper it. 12 and 13 to complete the lecture. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. That's the right way. That's the right leading, all right? The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Even nature itself longs for that wonderful time that is approaching. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off, as the waters of Noah, to prosper. How do we do it? That way, my friend. The way it has been illustrated in the simple basics. Again, I could have covered it from the New Testament, but all it says basically is to trust Him. The spiritual gifts will prosper you. And in the two other places that it's mentioned in the New Testament, it's to gather and save, and you'll prosper, right? But here we have the basics. I mean, gets right down so that we can see it in a very simple way, how that you can be prosperous is you do it His way. Boy, was it successful for Abraham. First off, he trusted his servant, but more so, he trusted God. Do you trust God with your life? I really hope you do. Because what we do in these flesh bodies is so temporary. It's like setting the alarm clock in the morning. And believe me, the way the years click off, pretty soon that alarm goes off and it's way down the road. These flesh bodies are so temporary. So I hope that you understand there is a great thing about to happen. It's already happening, that God wants to bless you starting now. And in the flesh, we don't have a whole lot. We really don't. You know, you can have all the money in the world, and if you only see in the flesh, you don't have a whole lot. You certainly don't have peace of mind, because you can't buy love. You can't buy truth. You have to absorb it, both love and truth, and from Him. And with that, you have everything. Today, now, I'm talking about happiness, that joy, and that peace of mind. And to know at the end of each day that maybe you had a chance to plant a seed, and if you didn't, there's always tomorrow. That means don't get anxious within yourself God's guiding you when you pray for it. If you didn't get to plant one that day, it meant He did not want you to. So don't get antsy and say, well, while I'm waiting on God, I'm going to start passing out some, do you love Jesus? You know, let's get out on the corner and plant. And I'm not mocking those people, but I'm saying, stay with Him. Stay with Him. Protect your credibility, and you'll protect His love for you, and He will indeed prosper you. Father, we thank You, Father, for Your truth, for Your many blessings, for Your word, Father, that guides us. And oh, what a wonderful guide You are, Father, that You guide us that right path. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.